All right, good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Board of Directors for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. May we get a roll call, please?
Director Nichols?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here. Okay, let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, agenda review. I would like to propose that we have our Michael Jones is here tonight, and he's on for the technical plant operations report for 6B, and I'd like to move that above 6A so he can give his report before we go through the audit. So if everybody's...
No objection.
No objection.
Okay, so we'll move 6B up to 6A. Okay, so anything else on the agenda? Let me sit right here, sorry. Everybody okay with the agenda? Okay, all right, we'll move on to our next item, which is public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda. So anybody has comments, please come forward.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and again I will ask that your board rescind the censure of Mayor Hill. I will also ask that your board censure Mayor Scholes. Mayor Scholes admits to speaking to personnel matters with employees during a very tumultuous time, and I think this board has the ability to censure him for that behavior. I've asked that you retroactively censure Mary Lucy. Ms. Nichols asked legal counsel last meeting if you could censure a private citizen, and that is not what Mary Lucy is. Mary Lucy spoke as a director. Actually, she put it in writing, things that were false about the district. There was an attempt to have her censured at the time, and Mayor Hill had that agendized. The legal counsel at the time said that there was no mechanism in your district's bylaws to do that. There is, the bylaws have been amended, and you can censure her. If you're not going to, then you do need to rebut the statements that she has made, the statements she made when she was a director, and the statements she has made since leaving the board. Because the detrimental statements to people's character, to the district's reputation as an agency that has to meet public safety code. Ms. Lucy has said time and again that this district has polluted the ocean beyond repair. She has said that John Clemens, as superintendent, falsified data to the state. Those are false, flat out false statements, and your board needs to rectify that with the public. The last thing that I will mention in public comment is I have been asking for and looking for the reinstatement of cash reports in your board packets. We haven't seen them for some time. There's some very important financial items later in your agenda, and if we don't have a current status of the district, then it's nearly impossible to continue to go forward spending the public's money if you're not fully informed on the the current status of the district in its cash reports.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. 2 points. Number one, as ratepayers, that is Arroyo, Grover, and Oceano residents, our opinions are necessary to your decision making. However, the opinion of a non-ratepayer, as was the prior speaker, those opinions are irrelevant to this board, especially when the request involves monies being spent. Censure and retro-censure, et cetera, that all costs money. The ratepayers have the skin in the game. We have the investment, we carry the risk. So it matters what we think. Also, I want to remind the board that you were not elected to the sanitation district to ridicule or criticize members of the public. So I think in that respect, it would be good for Director Hill to take this opportunity to apologize to a member of the public, Mary Lucy. Thank you very much.
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. Very briefly, I don't think that it would require funds to rebut the statements that Ms. Lucy made. And as a ratepayer, I would like to ask that you do that.
Anyone else have public comment?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I think Mary Lucy's been off the board, what, a year, half or so? This is ridiculous. You're going to go back and try to censure that long ago. And hearing other people from the public saying, you know, they want something done about what she said since leaving the board, I believe that falls under that little thing called your First Amendment rights. And I don't believe you can do that, and I don't believe you should. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda.
May we make a brief response, Madam Chair?
Sure.
First of all, I want to thank Ms. Tacker for requesting cash reports come back on our board packets. I have requested that for some time, and I will continue to request that. I think it's critical to our mission here and to our fiduciary responsibility to our residents and ratepayers. With respect to the Mary Lucy statements, Mary Lucy's statements were blatantly false and mean-spirited. And when uninformed, inane, and inaccurate statements are made by ratepayers, I take everyone's comments when I listen to public comment, and I consider the content of the content and act accordingly. So that's it, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, our consent agenda. We have warrants, the minutes of May 2nd, special minutes of May 4th, and the redundancy project amendment approval of resolution. That's been brought back. So is there anything anybody wants to pull from the consent agenda?
Not at this time. I do have a question, however, on one item.
Okay.
My question relates to the warrants, and that's number 2979 Employment Development Department for an unemployment reimbursement of $5,400. Can you explain that, please?
Amy, if you could make sure I'm not lying about this. I believe that's an unemployment claim that we have from a former employee, and those are payments that we've made thus far. Am I correct on that, Amy?
That is correct.
And I was just wondering why it's called is reimbursement rather than payment. I'm just not clear on that. but I understand the nature of the payment, I guess. Maybe you can give me a little bit more explanation offline.
I could only be guessing that the employee was found to be unemployed because of some malfeasance on the part of the district, if you will, and we're reimbursing them for money that maybe they otherwise. I don't know that. I can come back to you next time with a more accurate check on that, director. And if I have misstated this tonight, I will correct it next time.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions on the warrants, Barbara?
Two minor things here. Computer support, is that just technical assistance because you don't have an in-house IT person?
Which number, please?
2975 and 2981. Website support and computer support.
2975, it says. Wayne web hosting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. 2976 is computer.
2976.
Yeah.
Yes,
Central Coast Technology.
Yeah, we have moved some of the computers around, and we've also had some work done on our camera out on the fence. I'm not positive that that's exactly what it's for, but we don't have technical staff that normally does that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just have a quick question on the RENCON consultants, the redundancy. What were we paying there for the 14?
Yes, please. The RENCON is doing some additional environmental work that was requested by the revolving state fund and by the USDA in applying for the financing that we're applying for to help with the redundancy project. They're about halfway done, and this is a midterm payment for RENCON. We awarded this contract about a month ago.
Okay. I think that was it.
One other, if I might.
Sure.
The item for Kennedy Jenks, this is items that have already been approved. Is it on here because we need a resolution?
Which item?
This is 5D, the Kennedy Jenks contract amendment.
Yes, the Kennedy Jenks contract amendment is the follow-up to the 6 change orders that have been approved over the last couple, 3 years. And those change orders have taken funds from the construction side of the budget in, and I'm not saying the district's budget, the budget within the contract with Kennedy Jenks, and the cash was moved, as we reported on the last 2 change orders, from phase 7 of that action into the previous 6 phases in order to accommodate things like the study for the groundwater, the flood studies, the study for the electrical, and a couple of other ones. And then you may recall we reported, and if you don't, I apologize, but we reported that we would come back to you and get this thing all cleaned up as they no longer foresee any additional changes in scope unless you decide to go with an MMB or something like that, change the order of magnitude of our treatment process. So they're about done, and they're in the final design phases. They're about ready to turn in 30%, and I recall that I reported to you previously that about February of 2019 they hope to have the bid-ready project for you to approve. And I just want to make sure everything is lined up for our new district administrator and so he doesn't have to
I much it. Appreciate that. I also am reminded that the request from Mr. Fine from Pismo Beach about effectively reserving space for Central Coast Blue on our site, and I presume that KJ's had that in mind as they go along on the design, and
we have had conversations with them off and on as they conflicted with the design of the redundancy project on previous submittals. So they are speaking to one another, and the details of that MOA, that's a memorandum of agreement, are being presently fine-tuned between Mr. Sweet and Mr. Fine, and when that document is ready to bring to you, we'll bring it to you, and we'll certainly send a copy of that to Kennedy Jenks and to Bartle Wells as a matter of course.
Thank you again.
Okay, so I'll open it up to public comment for the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker, and my first I'll speak to the warrant packet. And you know, sometimes we ask questions and then we don't get answers, so we wait and the answers show up here. And so when I asked a few months ago about the air pollution control district fine, I see you are paying one for $511.95. This question was asked about temporary labor services and that we thought we'd stop seeing this bill, and so I'm hoping that they stop, but there's still another one for $1,444.32. With regard to the minutes of the minutes of May 2nd, I was speaking to the minutes of April 18th, and I asked that the record reflect exactly what Miss Lucy said to me, and she called me fat ass, and I want it in the record. I want your minutes to reflect the exact verbiage. So I know I asked for that 2 weeks ago and somebody didn't put it in here. So I would ask again that the record reflect the exact statement. Speaking to the Kennedy Jenks contract amendment, while I understand fully what's going on here, I think it's time when we have RINCON and MKN and Bartle Wells and Kennedy Jenks and anybody else that's working on redundancy, I think it's time to kind of pull all those consultants together and see where they are, get a timeline, because later in your agenda, you're going to go through your audit and it's not very favorable. And my concern is that you may invest an incredible amount of money towards a project that you cannot get funding for because your audit is ugly. And I think we need to know where all the consultants are, how much money has been spent to date, how much you expect to spend in the near term and the long term, and then how favorable does the financing look. We just need a status right now with an ongoing timeline. So I would ask for that.
Any other public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I would like to... The comment about wanting to add a... dust up in the back of the room during the meeting. Maybe legal counsel can help me here, but I think anything, our minutes are to reflect the business of the district, right? The business of our board meeting, not what happens between members of the public.
That's correct.
It's not part of our minutes.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, thank you. Okay, so can we get a motion?
I move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, consent agenda approved 3-0. Did you want to?
Do we need a roll call on that? Because it's
we have a resolution.
It's a resolution, and the warrants are on there.
Let's do a roll call.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes. Okay. Hi. What we've done is we have our plant superintendent here that's going to give a little report before so he can go home. So then if you will come right after he is finished. Okay? Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to turn this over to the plant operations report. Technical consultants and plant operations report.
Thank you, Board Chair and directors. We have before you the technical consultants report and the superintendent's report. I know we want to get to the superintendent's report fairly quickly. I did want to highlight a couple of things for the technical consultants report. And the rehab continues on digester one. The bio slabs, the bio concrete slab, which is more recent information than you even have in your report, was placed yesterday. And it's curing as we speak right now. The rest of the matters have been identified in italics for you. We've tried to thin this report out a little bit for you. I hope it still meets your needs. And with that, I would be happy to defer to Mr. Jones, who has a report to give to us tonight on the plant as requested at your last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Karp. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Just kind of want to briefly go over our plant operations report. We did have a violation on May 1st. We exceeded our limit for fecal coliform bacteria. The cause of the exceedance is still unknown. I think it may be due to just some inconsistency with our chlorine system. We are scheduling in the next budget, an assessment of that chlorine system, ways maybe we can optimize it, or even just do a complete overhaul of the system, just so it can be more reliable. Other than that, just some of our weekly tasks. We completed the installation of, putting back together a centrifuge auger. We're going to be installing our centrifuge and the auger once the biosolids lab is completed. We did not have any training scheduled for this week, but we do have some scheduled in the following weeks. Completed a couple work orders. As for our APCD violation, we sent our plan for approval, for APCD approval, and they did approve our plan, and the district has been released and discharged from any and all claims for civil penalties arising out of that notice of violation. And barring any questions, I think that's it.
Well, thank you very much. Did you have anybody have any questions for Michael?
Just one request, I guess, more than a question about the chlorine usage. When it appears that, and I've seen this a few times, that when we fill up the backup chlorine tank, that we count that as chlorine usage in pounds per day, when actually we're not putting that in the system. We're basically just filling the tank. And what it does is it skews these numbers and makes it difficult to tell whether we've got actual high usage or we're just doing routine refilling of the tank.
Yeah, so we do... we do count it as a single day, but we still record usage. So we have a tote that we just use essentially a marking system, and based off of how many inches were used that day, we record just in our logbook. So we still do record that usage, and I understand that it does askew our numbers, you know, for that day, but we still record the usage over, you know, the amount of time until it's empty, until we refill it, essentially.
Right. Could I request, though, that we record the actual usage, because I don't know, there might have been a day that had 525 pounds that were actually used in the system, and I can't tell that from this. Okay. I don't suspect that that's the case, but one's mind is led to wander and speculate on such things when, you know, refilling the tank is counted as use.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping that we could maybe record actual use and, you know, just treat the refilling as a routine evolution.
Okay. That won't be a problem at all. What I can do is just create like a special note of when we fill up that backup tote and then put actual usage in that, that column.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. No questions here.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any public comment on the plant operator's report?
Julie Tacker again, and I respect the request that you move this item up in the agenda to allow for Mr. Jones to go home, but I'd have to point out that the budget is after the audit, and that's his money. That's the money that he, as plant superintendent, is going to be spending, and it occurs to me that he should probably be here for that. The administrator's report, yes, it has been thinned. One of the things that was thinned is any mention of the Cambria brine project or the Cambria permit. And Ms. Austin just spoke to the minutes reflecting the actual business of the meeting. Well, Ms. Lucy was at this podium and told a fable about some presentation that Cambria CSD gave to your board. That never happened. And the minutes do not reflect any correction. And so you somehow the district has to be factual and set that record straight. Something else that was thinned from the report is the reference to the centrifuge repair. For several months, it said that work has begun on the task. We know that some work, I don't know if the job is complete, and that I know there was a change order I asked for and received all the bids for the job. But I looked at the bids, and each bid had a different scope. And my concern is that you don't get a fair bidding process if the scopes are different. And it may be just that those contractors felt they could accomplish the job doing different things or less things or more things, whatever they were. But what I find, and this speaks to your report, Mr. Jones, is that your tasks this last period, there were five times that your staff worked on the centrifuge. So I don't know if it's a different piece of equipment, or if you just picked up where this consultant left off, and that perhaps the other bids could have completed the whole job. And where I'm going with this is, did it save the district money? Does it save the district money? It seemed to me that the most comprehensive bid that I read was for $29,000. The bid that you took and the job that you paid for was $26,000. But here, your staff went out and worked on the centrifuge, and I think it might have been accomplished in the more expensive bid. But if I'm wrong, let me know, because it just didn't look right to me.
Gee, I clearly remember Amanda Rice from Cambria coming to a meeting, and she was in Grover Beach at that meeting. And I believe it was the plant manager from Cambria who came with her. But absolutely, Amanda Rice from Cambria did do a presentation. I remember even where it was held.
Thank you.
Shirley Gibson-Halcyon. I would agree with Patty about that presentation. And I want to remind the board that money spent or directions to spend money come from the ratepayers, not from the non-ratepayers. And anything really to do with Mary Lucy, all of that is moot. It's over with, and we should just move on. It's ridiculous to keep bringing up something somebody said. Thank you.
Okay. No other public comment? Okay, so we'll stop. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to remind you that you need to keep these speakers on task. They had nothing to do with the minutes. They talked about a speaker, and that's, you know, if I do that, you give me hell. These guys can get up and give everybody hell.
Thank you. Anyone else have any public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to our next item, which, Michael, you can do with my agenda. There we go. So we're going to go on to the presentation and approval of the financial audit. Thank you.
Madam Chair and directors, we have before us today a financial audit prepared by Glenn Burdett, and their representative partner is here to make not only a self-introduction, but a presentation on the audit. Thank you very much for coming tonight.
Thank you for having me. Good evening. My name is Al Eschenbach. I'm with Glenn Burdett, and we did perform the audit this past year. And I'm here to kind of really just give a brief overview of the results of the audit and respond to any questions. I know I'm sure one of the questions will be, we're here presenting the June 30, 2016 audit, and it's May 2018, and what led to that. And just to answer an anticipated question up front, really there was a lot of transition with staff, which you're obviously more than well aware of. And in our process as auditors, the key objective is that we can't audit our own work. And so we ran into issues. We didn't really run into any financial reporting issues. What we ran into was issues with completing the results of the audit, the results of the period under audit, having Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet help us with the complete the management discussion and analysis and complete some of the fixed asset test work in significant arrears. And so we are only able to do so much without impairing our independence related to the audit. And so we assisted where we could, but there was a line we could not cross as far as completing the work and then auditing it at the same time. So that's just a little bit of a framework. You may have questions about that. If you do, I'd like to help clarify that. So you have in front of you the audit. Pleased to let you know that the district does have an unqualified opinion this year. Our responsibility is to provide an opinion on the financial statements as presented. There's really two primary differences in the financials you're looking at, and I think maybe what you looked at in prior years. The first is the management discussion analysis. We worked with management to really get that beefed up a little bit, and that is really an opportunity for the district to present information that needs to align with the financials, but also tell a little bit of a narrative, a little bit of story, and a little bit of analysis on changes during the year. And so I would say that your management and discussion analysis section is beefed up from what it had been in prior years. The second change is that the footnotes, the notes behind the financial statements, there were some significant additions, and really those are a lot of that is a deeper accounting language that provides information about some of the different elements in the financial statements, but those were kind of beefed up considerably. As far as the results of operations, again, I think you've seen this. This is historical in nature. I don't typically spend a lot of time in this area since we have provided our opinion, but the district did have total assets of $14.2 million at the end of June 30th. of which $6.3 million was current assets, largely cash and equivalents, and about $750,000 of receivables, with a very low current liabilities, only $1.5 million. So the general health of the district is strong on an immediate basis. Page 12 shows the proprietary fund, the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in that position. There was an operating loss for the year ended June 30, 2016, $3.45 million in operating revenue and $3.9 million in operating expense. There was a little bit of additional income with connection fees, other capital contributions that resulted in reducing the decrease in the net position to just under $300,000 for the year ended. Typically don't spend a lot of time on the statement of cash flows or the notes to the financial statements. What is often, focus of conversation is the recommendations and the findings and recommendations. And those can be found on page 41. And I don't know that you had any findings in the year prior to our audit, but we did have three material weakness findings this year. The first one related to capital assets. The district, as a number of our clients do, uses a manual Excel process to capture, identify, and depreciate your fixed assets. And if that's not kept up in a very routine manner, you often get behind. And so there was significant work done after the fact to try to clean up that schedule, and that resulted in some significant adjustments. There was, I think, about $1.2 million to record the current year expense, $1.4 million to property capitalize the current year additions, and then record the related depreciation on those items. And again, it wasn't that information wasn't in the system. It was in the system, and it had been typically recorded as capital outlay, but it should have been capitalized as a fixed asset. Any questions on that one? The district response is also included in the finding, and I find it's easier to go, although you're the chair, to go item by item if there's questions from the board. No? Okay. Seeing none?
I don't think so. I mean, go ahead. We concurred with what your recommendation was.
Sure. The second finding is also a material weakness, and that is kind of a general finding called lack of expertise in financial reporting. It is a finding we have on a number of clients where the internal accounting knowledge may be just fine for transactional accounting, recording day-to-day cash in and cash out, but is not necessarily the expertise you need to prepare generally accepted GAAP-based financial statements. And a lot of that is why you hire us, but there's a certain level of responsibility on the district to be able to at least understand all the changes and adjustments that we have. And I think really with all of the transitions during the year, we didn't feel that was specifically present during the process that we were involved. And so that's where that finding comes in. With all three findings, they are described as material weakness. That's the highest degree, the strongest degree of a finding. And really what that indicates is that there's a weakness there that could result in material misstatements in the financial statements. And so the effort is always a desire to strengthen controls and reduce and mitigate possibilities of material misstatements. So that's the second one. And we also had a number of adjusting entries. I mean, really just coming up with the fixed asset adjustment often leads to this finding for a number of our clients. And then the third one is segregation of duties. And again, a lot of responsibility falls on the bookkeeper when the supervisor positions are in transition. And then that can also lead to potential weaknesses. We do additional test work to try to test for that, but as far as just a general system of controls, one of the things that we are looked to is how can we improve things within the district, or you know, any client that we audit, and certainly that is something we discussed with staff and with management. So those are the three findings that we had. Questions or comments from the board?
Let's see, do you have questions on the findings? Do you have questions on the findings? I made some notes. I don't know if they're questions. I just said that what you were doing is notifying us of risks that exist in the structure, but it's not a critique of management. We probably shouldn't misinterpret it as a critique of management. It's just things that need to be
correct. When we identify a certain condition, it is really our responsibility to identify it that way as a finding. I have a number of smaller nonprofits that get both of these findings, the expertise and the segregation of duties. They are of a size and nature where they, the board is aware of those things. They do different things that to try to make the controls as strong as possible, but they also accept those conditions. My responsibility is to report to you that those conditions were in effect for the period under audit.
Okay. We have some questions.
On the capital assets, it's basically what you're telling us is that it's a timeliness issue of maintaining that Excel spreadsheet as new equipment is acquired or...
Yeah, I would say it was a timeliness and in some cases an experience issue. We worked with the accounting staff who I think hadn't dealt with that issue in the past, previously with the district, and help them understand what needed to occur, what changes needed to be accounted for in there. And it's very possible that's been done for the periods after the period that we're looking at, but it had not been done for June 30.
Okay, so that kind of feeds into the second finding as well, by the sound of it. You mentioned that you didn't see too much issues with transactional abilities, but did your firm not have to basically put together a lot of our books for us, or?
I wouldn't say we put together your books. I would say we came out proactively and worked to help you find where the information was so that we could audit it. And there may be a fine line there, but we felt like we were always on the side of not doing the accounting. So we weren't, we don't do any transactions. We had no input into the general ledger or any of that. It was, where is the information? How do we understand the information? How do we understand the right information? And how should we be recording that if it's not been recorded properly?
No input to the general ledger, but a number of adjusting entries and...
There were a handful of adjusting general entries. And yes, those do make it into the general ledger, but those are... I guess there's a difference between audit adjustments, which were recorded and provided to management, and not anything that the management had to review, evaluate, and approve.
Madam Chair, if I can help a little bit.
Yes.
on the defense of our accounting staff, up to the point that she was hired, the district hadn't done any capital improvements. And this was really her first year of dealing with that kind of thing. And she was extremely cooperative with Sarah and working through this. And I think we've all learned a lot. Amy, don't you? Yeah. And I look forward to the future years and the future audits as being an improvement. And I think Amy will be much better in being able to help the detective work. We've placed a little bit in the budget in case we need to get some additional help. Last year, one of the things we had asked our accounting consultant is to try and help a little bit on bookkeeping background training with Amy during the last 6 months, and it was one of the reasons we kept them on. So I think we're going to have an improved effort for your next 12-month period when you review us, and sure. We hope to have a better outcome. But I think this is a pretty good audit.
I would echo two things Mr. Karp said. One is staff, when they were available, were absolutely compliant and helpful to the extent that they could be. And second, we do see our role to try to come in and help raise the bar and raise the level and educate, and only your staff can answer that question, whether we achieved that or not. But that's certainly part of the role that we see ourselves in.
Because we remember this was 2 years ago, so right. There's been a lot happened since then. And we did have, we were talking about those capital maintenance projects. Let's hear in the discussion, like, how many projects have we? I know there's been the digesters, the headworks.
Well, those are this year, in the past year. But in that time, we were doing the headworks. We were doing some repairs to mains that had been damaged. There was some TV work. There was also the headworks project and the grit removal were in design. So we did have those expenditures during that time. And frankly, I don't think anything of that caliber had been presented to the staff at that, you know, in that year. So I think we've done, as a district, a good job. And we always can improve, and we are in the mode of continuous improvement. We hope to satisfy you.
Great. Thank you.
With all due respect, we previously had the bookkeeper assisted by an as-needed CPA to record the various financials. This year, we seem to have got all kinds of hands in the pie, and this is chaotic compared to what I've seen before. And I'm chagrined at the comment that, well, this was a couple years ago. Yeah, it was. That's a problem. That shouldn't be normal. That's a problem. And while we don't have any reason to believe that somebody's pocketing the funds, material weaknesses indicate that that could have happened and we wouldn't be aware of it. Isn't that accurate?
There's a heightened risk of that. That's the way the
a heightened the risk.
Material, that's what a material weakness is defined. We perform test work certainly over cash and accounts receivable and the assets. And
I appreciate that you do that, but in fact you use limited tests to determine the accuracy. Is that not right?
We don't test every transaction.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be very difficult? There's not much cash. I don't think if there's any, I'm not sure, but any cash that goes through there, I don't see how anyone can pocket funds it without a record of it.
Well, there's a number of ways to do it. Having phantom employees on the payroll is one way. We're not provided with statements of who the, you know, how many employees and how much they're paid.
Well,
there's numbers of ways to do it, whether cash comes through the operation or not. Inadequate segregation of duties. This is a small, obviously one-function district. In your experience, what do similar districts have for financial recording staff? And how reasonable is it to have multiple segregations.
You don't need to have multiple recording staff, but you can have some different people serving some different functions, whether it's once a month completing the bank statement, bank reconciliation. Certainly a timely budget to actual report is a control. Logging cash receipts and then what got deposited can be done by an administrative person, mm-hmm. and doesn't all have to be done by the bookkeeper. So there are things
agree.
That other organizations can do, including at the supervisory level, that does not suck up a lot of their time, but does provide some oversight over some monthly pieces.
That sounds perfectly reasonable, but in that we have a material weakness, I'm led to believe that that didn't happen here.
Well, not in all cases. There was, again, transition in some of those supervisory roles during the period during the period being audited and subsequent. And it appears certainly that we tested the bank reconciliations, but we don't necessarily know who specifically reviewed them. Nothing came to our attention that would identify any improprieties that would have been brought immediately to management for further investigation or something like that.
Through your limited testing procedures.
Is that a question? What is the question, Mr. Hill?
That was through your limited testing procedures.
That sounds like a statement. I still don't hear a question.
Your limited testing procedures led you to the conclusion that there's no evidence of possibility of malfeasance.
Our testing procedures did not identify any malfeasance.
The reason I'm prompting the questions is this, to me, is while it... This is a wake-up call for this district to straighten up our act related to finance. We're talking about millions of dollars of public funds here. And reading this audit tells me that we're not doing the best job of managing that. Is that a fair statement?
I don't think our statements really address managing. There was an environment and circumstances that we're not totally, you know, the transitions happened. We're aware of that.
That created a
certain void.
I understand there were transitions, but I also don't want to make excuses for inadequate performance on financial record keeping in accounting. So that's, I guess, my concern.
Findings inherently indicate that improvements can be made. And that's why we provide them with our recommendations.
So now, approximately how long did it take since your firm was first engaged on this particular audit to complete the audit? And I understand that much of the issue is not a fault of your firm. It's our own inability to get our books together to the point that you can perform your audit.
I would say we started in September or October, and so it's been about an 18-month process, which is, everyone agree, is longer than.
And now we're about to start on our 16-17 audit, way behind schedule. And why would I have any assurance that this is going to be any better or have any fewer findings than this year?
I don't know. We have not spent any time looking at 16 to 17 yet, so I don't know what that year entails.
Yeah, I don't have any warm fuzzy that our workmanship is going to be any better in the next year, so I would... another question comes to mind regarding a management letter. I presume you're going to be providing us with one?
This is effectively the management letter, the recommendations.
Isn't that in our packet, the letter?
Some firms do not include their findings in the written report, and they have what's a separate recommendations to management. Technically, under governmental standards, that if those findings are of a control nature and of a minimal nature, they should be in the report, and so that's what we've done.
And I guess my last question is, your firm, I presume, provides services such as making recommendations to organizations such as ours on how we might improve our financial record keeping and performance. Is that a service that you provide or that's commonly provided?
Certainly on some level. I think our firm does a lot of that on the tax side, where we don't also have audit an audit engagement or a review engagement.
But it might be
when we're too involved in a consulting role, then our independence can get impaired. So we kind of...
I understand the fine line.
Yeah.
Might it be prudent in your estimation for the district to engage such an advisory organization? Or at least consider it?
I think the district should consider the totality of the comments and what is the best way for the district to address the comments that we included. Again, we didn't identify issues from a transactional nature. It seems like your day-to-day accounting, as long as people are allowed and afforded the opportunity to get in there and do their normal processing, that things have the opportunity, especially as Amy grows into her role and continues to learn, if the learning curve continues to be there, that you have someone who can perform a lot of the responsibilities. She's not a CPA. And
no, I understand. I'm just...
And I apologize.
Somewhat lamenting that we had a CPA on an as-needed basis to assist her with those duties in prior years, and somehow that seems to have gone away.
There are some organizations that have a bridge where they use an external financial person, whether they're certified or not, to assist in preparing the financial statements. There's a cost associated with that, and I think it's management's role to evaluate whether that value is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at the recommendations here, I'm generally persuaded that those costs might be worthwhile. Thank you for your input. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the questions, Dr. Hill.
Okay. Do you want to go? I just want to say I thank you very much for being here, and we had the three material items. Found the conditions. We state the management concurs with the recommendation. We have a plan. What's going to moving forward? This what just occurred here has nothing to do with moving this plant forward. All we're doing is rehashing the past. You know, kicking that dead horse. And what I see here is very, you know, and what I meant by 2 years ago is that things have gotten better. Since this is what was back then, here we go again. We concur with your recommendations, and we are right in the midst of getting a new district administrator. So to think we have to bring someone in to straighten this out is ridiculous. We're getting a new administrator. Let's let him or her, whatever, whoever it is, look at what we need to do. But to sit here and just go backwards into what that, you know, and to even hint at malfeasance is just absurd and ridiculous. So I think this is a, we probably should determine maybe if we need to spend more money on staff, or we definitely need to segregate the duties, you know. So, I mean, there's all these things that we can work out with leadership when we get our new administrator on board, and then see where we're going. But here and criticize is not getting us anywhere.
I'm certainly looking forward to our new administrator, and I do believe that he'll have some additional expertise to bring to bear. But I would take issue with the statement that we're improving and moving forward. The audit of the immediately prior year to this didn't have material weaknesses to report. So this, I think we're doing a disservice if we say we're getting better, The fact is we're not getting better. And unless we take some action to get better, it's not going to self-correct.
Didn't we hear an explanation as to what went on at this particular time, is what we're saying, that these things happen? You want to stay in the past. You're not happy with any moving forward. You want to stay with complaining and finding malfeasance.
I never suggested there was malfeasance.
You said that you
the
did.
Statement is that there's a higher likelihood.
Well, and certainly.
That's a risk that's on us as fiduciaries
exactly.
of the public money.
Right, but like you said, we know that. So we're moving forward. I mean, you want to keep going, okay, well, last year they had this and we know that. So what good does it do to keep, you know what I'm saying?
Learning from one's mistakes is a hallmark of an organization that improves. And unless you acknowledge those mistakes and endeavor to learn from them.
Well, there's a way you can do it, you know, too.
I agree, there is.
Okay. All right, Barbara, did you have anything to add?
I was just appreciative of the fact that we've got adequate explanation, in my opinion, of the length of time that this audit has taken and the reasons for it. And that, yes, we do have some good work ahead of us to get things on an appropriate track so that future audits can be handled expeditiously. That's it. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open up to, do you have any more questions or anything?
No, thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank
My
you.
Excuse?
Yes. I'm getting ready for public comment, please. Public comment? Anybody have public comment on the audit?
Patty Welsh, one thing I'd like to ask is, we've got a board member who wants to talk over other board members, talk over the gentleman who was just speaking. It makes it difficult for those of us in the audience to hear two people when they're speaking at the same time. Please be conscientious of that.
Is there any other public comment?
Victorine. And I disagree with that the almost $300,000 spent on legal fees was done in the normal course of doing business, as stated in note 8. Other sanitation districts of similar size spend less than $20,000 to $30,000 a year. The $300,000 is an extraordinary expense and, in my opinion, was caused by mismanagement and dysfunction of the board. This district has had a history of excessive legal fees. For a four-year period, similar districts spend about $100,000. This district spent over $1 million. There has been no attempt to determine the root cause of these excessive fees. Why is the district so prone to litigation? The board stated that the lawsuits, in the report, stated that the lawsuits will not have a material adverse effect on the financial condition of the district. What's material? The board should not play down the financial impact this has on the district. And additionally, the note on litigation in the report is pretty vanilla. The note should at least disclose the number of lawsuits and identify them where possible. And then in reading the report, I took it at face value. And then the condition paragraph of finding 2, it states that during the audit, the auditors prepared the district's financial statements. I'm concerned that by performing a management function during the audit, that the organization's objectivity was compromised. Preparing financial statements and auditing them may significantly impair their audit independence. And I understand that there's certain routine functions that they perform during the audit, like the capital asset adjustments, and those are helpful. But those are routine services, and preparing the financial statements, as they stated in the report, is not a routine function. And I asked the board that you request documentation from the audit firm that identifies the potential threat to independence, the safeguards applied, and the consideration of management's ability to effectively oversee the preparation of the financial statements. Since there isn't a footnote acknowledging that potential threat, documentation that they can provide, which is required by government auditing standards, can give reasonable assurance that the audit can be viewed as objective and impartial.
Can you wrap up, please?
Finally, yes. I'm curious as to who is going to sign the representation letter that's included. I sincerely hope that the board ensures that it is not blindly signed. It's quite a long document. And after all, it is you, the board, that are reporting to the audit firm. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and just so the people at home know, the auditor has been excused, so the public's questions won't be answered. And if you have more questions after the public's input, you won't get those answers either. And that, I believe, violates the Brown Act if you're going to approve
it. The auditor asked to leave.
No, the auditor asked if he was excused, and you said yes. So if you take action without having heard from the public on the item, then I believe you violate the Brown Act. My opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but I think it was wrong, and it was untransparent, which is clearly becoming part of the course around here. One of the questions I wanted to ask him is, in his tests, did he see that Mr. Huebner took $3,000 for moving expenses with no paper trail? There is nothing in that district that authorizes that expense. That is malfeasance, Ms. Austin. That's what that is. What became very clear to me is certainly with your questions or your comments, President, Chair Austin, you're very defensive. You're not listening to me. I know that, but that doesn't matter. I'll say what I need to say. You're very defensive of this year that's been under audit. What you need to be defensive about, I guess, is the preparation of the audit, because the actual transactions that went on during that financial period under Mr. Sweet was the first manager, then Mr. Clemens, and that year rounded out with Mr. Huebner. But the preparation was done first by Amy for some months without a CPA's assistance that she had been afforded before, and then four or more people took over assistance in that office after Amy was gone, and clearly there were too many chefs in the kitchen. With regard to the 44-point letter that I believe your administrators are supposed to sign, doesn't have their names on it to say whose signatures will go there. If I were a board member, I wouldn't sign it, but if they're going to sign it, of the 44 points, they're admitting that the auditor actually adjusted entries in your books. If they knew that was going to happen, I think it would have been prudent to bring that to the board and say, do you want to give up that objectivity? Do you want to give up that independence by having the auditor do this work, or should we get somebody else to do the work and clean the books up?
Time's up.
Yes, it is. Thank you for your attention.
Anyone else?
Hello, Shirley Gibson. So again, the last speaker, those comments are really irrelevant. And I resent people trying to spend our money for us, okay? Arroyo, Grover, and Oceana, we're the ones that carry that burden. So
The one thing I liked about the presentation was that he said the general health of the district is really strong. So I'm looking at that. I think that is number one and very important for the district. And number two, the new administrator. I think that they need to be given the latitude and the assistance or whatever kind of recommendations you might have to setting up, you know, the new game plan and job assignments, et cetera. And then thirdly, looking at the solutions for the three findings. And so I think that's a good place to start. And just remember that the last several years have been transitional. So it's been difficult. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Ron Arnoldson, I believe the audit was pretty telling. The last couple of years have been kind of a bungle, and I hope the new administrator is not as poor as the last administrator we had. It's pretty obvious that we need to learn from our mistakes. I think the majority of the board needs to ask more questions, get more involved, have more concern about what's going on, not just sit there and earn your $100 a meeting. So hopefully things will get better. And it was very obvious that Amy needed help, but it didn't come from the three people that were helping her. Seemed like they didn't know any more than she did. And actually, probably less, because I know that one of the guys came from the field and has no history of...
Keep your comments away from the employees, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's part of the audit, though, however. And so I think that in the future, maybe we will have somebody that has more professional ability to give her a, or give the bookkeeper, whoever it is, her, whoever you suggest, more of a classical hand on what should be going into the audit, the next audit. Thank you.
Patricia Price. It's pretty obvious that the last 2 years have been really rough on this district. The last administrator was very incompetent, and the public stood up very early on and said, something is wrong here, something needs to be done. We demanded he be let go early on, and he was allowed to stay, and things got worse and worse until he finally left us in a terrible mess. So I'm just hopeful that we find ourselves a really wonderful administrator. The public's going to be watching him closely. I really want to be supportive of this person. I will be if I feel that they're doing a good job. And I won't be if he is another Huebner. I hope we learned that the public really does know what they're talking about. We warned you early on.
Anyone else have public comment? Seeing none, bring it back. So this is a receive and file.
Yes, ma'am. If we want to proceed on this and move on to the next audit, the receive and file would be the appropriate motion.
So do we want to make a motion to receive and file?
Well, do we not have, there's an issue of approval of the audit, if I'm not mistaken. Also, there was a management representation letter that's here, but it's unsigned.
After the audit is received and filed or approved and filed, that one will be put on district letterhead and signed by your administrator and sent back to the auditor. That's the process, I believe. Is that not correct, Amy? Yeah.
So the item that's on our agenda, number two, says approve and file the audit.
Okay.
Not just file it.
So do we want to vote to approve the audit then? Is that what we need to do?
Yes.
I believe that is...
We must approve this audit before they can start on the next audit, correct?
They need to finish this audit before they will be allowed to begin the next audit. They can't have one open while they're doing another.
Right, so then the minute this is done, they're going to start on our next one.
That would be nice.
Because it's time is of the essence here for financing and everything.
That's what everybody in the public wants. I know that's what the board wants, is to get going and get these all cleaned up.
So, and I think the suggestions that were made are taken, well taken with our staff, and I think we're going to work on them. And I'm looking forward to the new administrator coming in and getting a handle on what's going on. And I'm kind of looking forward to moving forward. So if we can, I guess we'll need to make a motion then that we would approve. Does somebody want to make a motion on?
I move that the board approve and file the 2015-2016 financial audit.
Second for discussion. The first of all, I'm just concerned with the general defensiveness I've sensed here on the part of the board. Again, I think that the hallmark of a learning organization is one that brings to light and acknowledges mistakes of the past and works at not repeating them, and I hope that that's what we are about. I want to know exactly by name who's going to sign the management representation letter. There's place for two signatures.
And I'll sign it for the board if that clarifies it for you, sir.
Okay, yes it does, thank you. And the comment was made about a note about independence. Obviously, we don't have the gentleman here to answer that question, but that's, I think, a valid point. There are, if you read enough between the lines and actually on the lines, it does say that the auditor was involved in making entries in completing the financial statements and so forth, and that's part of the management representation, that management takes the responsibility to look over that work and make sure that it was done appropriately, kind of a reverse independence, if you will.
And I'll just say again that the auditor identified risks involved with this organization, and we are going to, we have concurred with the risks and are going to follow up on them moving forward. So we have a first move and a second. All in favor? Aye. I don't know.
Based
that we need
on
to do
assurances
a roll call.
From staff, I will assent to the motion.
So we're all in favor of. We all said, okay. All right. So we did that. So, let's see, we've been here. I think we need to take a 5-minute break. That's okay, and then we'll start back with the draft budget.
And I resent. Back to order, and we will go on to our next item, which is
budget.
The budget, draft budget for the fiscal year 18-19.
Thank you, Chair and Directors. We have before you a draft of a budget for your consideration. Tonight is primarily a review and discussion time. Give us input. One of the important things I've been advised is this public hearing that has to be formally advertised, and we need to get dates for that. So maybe we should just break into the thing, and I can get you through at least the draft and move on from there. Maybe get some questions and get some direction from you. We have three funds that we generally deal with, and we have proposed a consolidated budget, which is on page 2 of the staff report, and then we've we have individual budget tables, which include a couple of subtables for expenditures on maintenance projects and parts and things like that. And then we have the big pieces, which are the redundancy project, which we expect the lion's share of the design to be funded from this particular upcoming budget. In fact, that we are, as per discussed when Bartle Wells was here, we're going to draw down on the savings we have in the county treasury to the tune of about $1 million to complete that design in the upcoming fiscal year. And that's probably perhaps the lion's share of what the discussion is, but certainly we're open to everything here. So maybe I should ask, was the staff report addressing the things that you wanted to see? And if it did and it created questions, maybe we could get right to those, unless the board or the directors would like to handle it in another way.
Do you have any questions, Barbara?
This
is what we
can't find what I had. I will keep looking. Go ahead.
Okay, Jim, do you have
move on
to say about them?
Yes, thank you. First, a comment that the $350,000 that was frivolously spent on legal fees over the last year is sorely missed here in our starting fund balance. Question first regarding the digester number 2 cleaning and rental centrifuge for $100,000. Is our own centrifuge not going to be restored to operation?
It's just about finished, Director. The centrifuge is designed to run with the functioning digesters, and there was a concern that if we took that centrifuge out and ran it like crazy during the centrifuge washing, or excuse me, emptying and repair, that we're going to load that centrifuge up and reduce its life significantly. So what was elected to be done was to rebuild that centrifuge so that it is in almost a brand new condition, use the rental centrifuge until we can get digesters back online, and then go back to using just the in-house newly restored centrifuge. And that's what we've been doing. The rental centrifuge is a much higher horsepower and used to the wear and tear that the kind of beating it's taking, while the digester is being repainted and the valves are being replaced. And we are going to go immediately from finishing digester number one to going to digester number two. And the intent is to keep that centrifuge available until we feel that we're functioning in a normal fashion. We think that is going to occur as soon as we get digester number one in operation, but we'll have to look at that and look at it much more closely before we send back the rental centrifuge. We have funds in there to run it for a period of time should we need it, but our hope is to get back to it, Director Hill, as soon as we can, but not to the point where we're going to have to take the life off of it, other than through normal operations.
Okay. Thank you. Disinfection system, $50,000, and Mr. Jones was here and indicated we may want to look into our chlorination equipment, but when I look further in the budget, the $50,000 for disinfection system seems to be budgeted toward a study. I want to know if we're getting, you know, potential. Sometimes things can be analyzed perhaps by trained operators who see and have to deal with the equipment all the time. Perhaps $50,000 for a study seems to me to be...
That seems a little high, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. I'll get some comments from him so that at our next... If I don't have him here, I'll have comments on that $50,000 study slash improvement that he talked about this evening. But I think it's the same process. Our men have a lot of experience with that particular installation. They have been tweaking with it since it was originally put in years ago, and improvements come up from time to time in the way people run those, and all I can say is I'll get the comments for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Continuing on. The draft budget reduces administrative costs by $350,000. Significant projected savings are proposed in line items pertaining to legal fees. One would certainly hope so. On page item 6C, attachment 1, page 1, this is the various funds,
yes, sir.
Revenue and expenditures, total other charges. What are we looking at for other charges?
113.4.
400.
Right. Amy, can you help me with that one?
I don't see the 113.
Okay, on page 6C, attachment 1, page number 1.
Oh, about total other charges up there.
Yeah.
That is for account 20-7094, the MOU with City of Pismo for the joint EIR. That's carried over from this year's budget.
This is the one that Rick is working on a redraft with.
Correct.
Mr. Fine. Okay. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. When I just see other with large amounts of money behind it?
Good question.
Professional services, outside counsel, litigation, $20,000. Hopefully that won't have to be spent. Professional service attorney fees, $65,000. That again is way high for a district of this nature. I wonder what are we anticipating to spend that money on? Why is this number so high?
Well, it's significantly lower than what we have been spending. I thought you'd be happy with that, frankly.
Incorrect.
All right.
Jen, when you start, could you please give us a page?
I'm sorry, this is on 6C, attachment 2, page 2, and it's about an inch and a half down the page.
Okay.
The fund is 197071, which is professional services attorney fees.
Okay, right.
Our in-house attorneys have had staggering legal bills over the last couple years. And it seems to me that a budget of this nature, when we don't foresee, by all accounts, those types of issues continuing, does not meet favorably with my review. I'm thinking on the order of 24 to 30,000 would be more reasonable.
So about 2,000 a month, 2 to 3,000 a month.
Two to 2,500 a month, something like that. Yes, seems to be relatively what we see for comparable districts.
So. If I can just comment, just attending the board meetings is a few hours a month, and that goes pretty quick.
Leave it at the 65, and then be happy with
it. I hope we don't spend it, but I mean, look back there. You were at 165,
right?
Or 160, 158.
Well, we never budgeted that. In fairness,
no, you didn't.
That was
adjusted.
That was adjusted through creative job assignments. I'm trying to come up with a non-inflammatory term, by counsel at the time. And I hope that leaving a large proposed budget there is not going to encourage those types of abuses that we saw previously, where legal fees were incurred without ever bringing it to the board as the costs escalated out of all control. Professional services, fiscal services. This is 197083, about a third of the way down the page.
Thank you.
I think after the audit we just received, we might consider looking at increasing that amount to afford our bookkeeper some professional assistance as we had in the past.
Do we have a consensus on what to bump that?
Fiscal service, same.
I would.
You have a line number for everybody there.
This is
19-7083.
At the very least, I would revise the legal budget down by 30,000 and increase probably the professional services, fiscal services, by that amount. Professional services, strategic planning. Not sure that I see a need for that at this point either.
Put that up into the other one part of it. Get 5,400. Why don't we put part of that up into the fiscal services?
Can we have your mind for what you're saying? Well, the actual spent in 16-17 looks like 5,400.
Right.
The 17-18 budget, we don't know what the actual was.
You know, why did we bring that up? Do you know? Were you expecting?
There was planning that Mr. Huebner had planned to do, and that was that's a holdover from that budget item. Amy, do you have any expenditures that would estimate us at 13K? I know that
there's been zero expenditures.
There's been zero. Okay, so
I just brought it over.
That's fine. I'm very grateful to have you here, Amy. I'm not being critical. So we have spent nothing, directors, in that particular line. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do some strategic planning. We have a fairly full plate of projects for the new administrator coming forth. I heard one director say maybe we ought to bump it down to the 54 and make a savings there. Is there a consensus of what we'd like to do with strategic planning for this coming FY?
I think we could drop it down and put the rest up into the one above, the fiscal services.
Hopefully we can save some money on this budget rather than planning to spend it all. But since we just spent 2 years ago $5,400 on a strategic plan, hopefully there's some hopefully that was more wide-ranging than just a two-year look ahead. Small tools, $5,000.
Before we leave that, is there something we want to do with the 13K? I don't mean to interrupt you,
right,
Director.
Right, no, I think we do. I think, didn't you guys agree that we should move it up into the other one and just leave something?
Well, I heard two ideas. One was to move it up into financial services, and one was to not spend it at all. So that's what I'm hearing. And
my
I'm looking
not
for
spend
just
it.
Leave it there.
I'm looking for. If I can get consensus, I'd love to get that. And then I know when I advertise a public hearing that I have a pretty good chance of getting a budget approved that night.
Yeah, I'm okay with putting it back down to 5,400 and the remainder going up into fiscal services.
Now, are you taking about increasing the 30 above that or just being part of that 30?
The fiscal services is only
34.
12.
Well, it's 12, but we're...
Oh, okay.
We had a suggestion we add 30 because of the comments in the audit that we can improve ourselves. We may want to get some additional overview of a professional nature to help us.
Yeah.
Now, we may not need that much because we may have a genius district administrator who is, you know, much better than the two characters you've had in the last 6 months. So you might save that money. So... how do we all feel about this? And I think a little extra time spent here might be worth doing, you know, if we can get there.
Why not just, Jim had mentioned it, lowering the attorney fee 24 to 30,000, so we could do 24,000 from there and the other from strategic planning into fiscal services.
That make any sense?
So we'd go, so we'd go 54 for the 13, it'd be, so you'd be minusing it down to 54, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we'd be minusing a 24 on the attorneys. Is that what I'm hearing? Is there consensus for that?
Mm-hmm. How about if we do 30 on legal, 25 on professional fiscal services, and we capture the 25 that's left over?
That's a possibility.
I don't want to put the attorney on the spot here. I didn't ask him to come prepared to speak on this, mm-hmm. but did you want to, any input from the attorney, or you just want to give him a target to shoot at and see if he can make it? I mean, we do have the man here. He's not an elephant either.
Sure, if he has
and,
any
and
input.
We appreciate that.
That he's here or that he's not an elephant?
All of the above. Yeah, okay. Is $35,000 reasonable for attorney services, assuming that we don't incur major litigation or some other, for what I would consider perhaps routine representation, attendance at meetings, and so forth?
Well, I'll give you my favorite legal response, which is, it depends. So it all depends on the type of legal issues that the district is faced with. So attendance at meetings can be considered the base, and so that's pretty easy to calculate. But when unanticipated legal issues come up, independent of litigation, it can fluctuate pretty high. Mm-hmm.
I guess my concern is what I've seen in the past is, for lack of a better term, self-assigned work. And I'm concerned of over budgeting a large amount of money for routine services. I don't have an issue if something comes up and the board is advised that we can provide additional funds out of our reserves or some other source, so I'm not adverse to that. But, and I do understand certainly that things come up. That's the nature of things. But I'm again adverse to leaving. What my concern is looking at my overall goal here, and my concern is that with the redundancy project actually moving forward, that we have some commitments that we've made to finance organizations and so forth, and I want to make sure that we have enough money to meet those commitments, which is, you know, if our budget isn't in line with what we've represented to financing agencies, then we're going to have a hell of a time getting any money, especially given the condition of our audits. So I would hope that we can reduce wherever possible and capture savings that might make sure that we can meet the representations. One of those is that our minimum fund reserve target for financial planning purposes, 50% of annual O&M, plus $1 million for emergency capital reserves. And those are the kinds of representations we've made to SRF and others in looking for funding for our redundancy project. So I don't want to jeopardize those types of representations. So I would hope that we could budget down on a number of these things and capture some money that we might use in a sinking fund, if you will. The next one, if we're done with that one, looks...
I still don't have an answer.
I don't mean to be dense here. What did we end up with on attorney then?
I would suggest $35,000 for attorney fee, and $25,000 for 7083, which is I look at as a CPA assistance, and that leaves actually $30,000 for my back of the agenda calculation.
That was 25 on the financial?
Yes.
35 on the attorneys?
Yes.
And then what did you want, 54 on the professional fiscal service? What is that? No, it's strategic planning.
Nothing on strategic planning.
Zero on what does the rest of the board feel on this?
I think 35 is a little low on the attorney fee. I was thinking more in terms of 50,000. The fiscal services, if we wanted to do totally away with strategic planning and put it up there, that would bring that up to 17.4, which I think ought to handle any more professional help than we have on staff. I'm not sure we should go zero on strategic planning, though, because we do have a lot of stuff in the future, the Central Coast Blue, that we have to do strategic planning for if we are to have the other facility here. I know that's a few years out, 2-3 years out, but we need to look at that far ahead.
Well, if we had $35,000 for attorney's fees, $20,000 for fiscal services, and $5,000 for strategic planning, $5,000 even. Where does that leave us? $35,000. Look at this, what about $32,000 that we can capture?
So I don't think I'm more comfortable with a little more on the legal, just because 30 just doesn't sound for a year. Looking into something, you know, I'm more comfortable with like 50.
That's $3,000 a month. Would be 36.
But do we have things, you know, there's things that come up that not just sitting in a meeting. I just like to have a little bit of buffer there, just in case we need. I mean, you guys are going to make a decision, whatever. I'm just more comfortable with 50, and then with the 25 on the professional services, and leaving the strategic planning at 5,000. So, however, we can work that out.
Okay, strategic planning 5,000. I'm writing it in.
Do we have consensus on the strategic plan at 5K?
Yes.
Okay, we got one out of the way.
That's a win.
That's one. Okay, we got two more to talk about here. I thought I heard 25K on the total for financial services from three people. Did I mishear that, or a total of 25K for that?
Fiscal services, I thought it was 25K, yeah.
20. Barbara?
Yeah.
And Mr.
I would agree with that, noting that also reading between the lines on the audit that we need procedures in place for our accounting practices.
Okay.
So hopefully we could.
So do we have two of them then? We have the 12 going down to 25. That's financial services. I got the strategic plan going down to 5. Now we just have one item to discuss. That's the attorneys.
Yeah.
I would suggest then 36,000. That's 3,000 a month. And again, if issues come up, I would think that the board routinely needs to be informed. And again, we can make adjustments as necessary when those things occur.
All right, that's fine. You agree? That's fine with me.
Okay, 36.
So 36 on the lawyer.
For legal fees.
Then we can adjust if something comes up.
I'm certainly amenable to that. Small tools.
Which line?
This is on the same page, fund 8055.
Yes.
This number's been growing almost exponentially.
You're talking about 8055?
Yeah.
19-8055, okay. Small tools.
All right.
That sounds rather extraordinary to me.
5,000?
Yes.
Would you like that to be back at 35 or 1209?
How about, and this is it's a swag, obviously, $2,000?
Small tools, what do those consist of in the plant working, like the pliers or things like that?
Yeah.
Wrenches.
Hammers, wrenches.
Yes. We have quite a few tools, but I don't have a breakdown of that specific item, so... Did you get input from Michael on that that you can recall, Amy?
I did, and then they did have a specific...
Oh, let's hear it.
Blade. I believe it was a blade for something that they had, and that's why they set it at 5,000. But then they also thought maybe that blade is not a small tool. It might be categorized in a different... line items.
When you talk about blade, I'm putting you on the spot here because you're not an operator or a mechanic, Amy, but were they talking about a tool that you push dirt with, a blade, or were they talking about a blade for a saw, or do you even know?
It was a saw blade, okay. They were referring to that needs to be replaced this year.
Okay, that sounds like a small tool, but who knows?
Be a small tool to me, so if that's what they thought that's what they wanted. That's what
that was in addition to other budget, or that was the specific.
That was the discussion, and so we did have a discussion in the office, and they did settle on the 5,000, and it was accounting for some blade that they need for a tool.
Okay. Well, then I'm for leaving that then.
It gets left. Michael owes her a thank you.
I was going to say, just
big
because
time.
We...
Because I'm ready to sell them out right now.
Right. And if that's what the...
What's your preference on this, please?
What do you...
Leave it?
You want to leave it, or do you want
to... The last actual we have is $1,200.
Yes.
I'd go to $3,500, which is what we budgeted last year.
Yes. That adjusted budget, Amy, do you know whether the adjusted budget was based on some actuals plus end of the year, or do you think that was just the budget?
That was the original budget, and the actual was like $17.
Okay,
and I believe that's why they have so much.
So it sounds to me like Mr. Hill has smelled out a rat here. So you're thinking maybe the blade was $5,000, or they thought they'd buy $1,200 in tools and the balance for the blade. You don't have a clue.
The blade was high enough that it might not be considered a small tool. It was a significant amount of money, so we were discussing if it should even be a small tool.
Well, maybe what we ought to do is go back to 1200 here and then consider whether we want to put the blade in with one of the other budgets. Does that sound good to the board?
I'm happy with that.
Where do you want
to
go?
As long as they get, I'd like to make sure they got their blade.
Okay, I'm going to make 5,000, 1200, okay? And I'm going to write no blade in the margin so I remember.
Mm-hmm. 19.8045, near the very bottom of the page, office supplies and expense. $8,000 again sounds high to me.
What's our actual now, Amy?
I don't have that number with me. I think that is high. That could definitely be adjusted.
You work in there. What would you recommend?
I would think it could go as low as the five. That is for mailings, stamps, pens, pencils, any
paper. Copy paper.
Copy paper. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Because our packets are pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the actual was 26, so what if we just made it 6 that way? I wouldn't go under what it was already.
We had 62 as an actual.
Right.
In
2 years ago.
2 years ago. I'm okay with 6,000.
I think we should make it 6.
6 then?
Yes.
Okay, I hear 2.
3.
All right. Mm-hmm. 6K. All right.
Just noting plant chemicals in passing, I don't have an issue with the budget. Chemicals, I guess, are subject to inflation. But at one point we had absolute runaway of chlorine usage and the cost went through the roof. So just to note that, and I'm sure that the staff is paying attention to that. Okay, moving on to 6C, attachment 2, page 4, schedule A1. And this is scheduled maintenance for existing assets. About two-thirds of the way down, 17A1, 18, heat exchanger. What heat exchanger?
The heat exchangers I believe they're talking about is the heat exchanger in the building that is next to the digester. And they may need some cleaning of the tubing inside that to make it function on a periodic basis. I'm sorry. I believe it's in a heat exchanger in the heater room for the water or for the digester heating.
And then 17A1, a couple lines down, 21, primary clarifier number 1. What would we propose for that?
We're proposing a major maintenance project, I think, in the capital. Are we not, Amy?
Yes, this is separate.
Okay, but this is related to the same piece of equipment, is it not?
In front of it has been carried over from a prior budget, and then.
So that's a deferred. That's a deferred maintenance that we haven't completed.
So everything on this page then is carried forward.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm looking at our schedule that Mr. Sweet provided a couple years ago that listed the in-service dates for various of our equipment and how much we should probably be looking at spending. I note that digester number 1 coating is projected for 2020. And in fact, that needed to be, this is a separate page that was provided a couple years ago. Centrifuge maintenance 2025, so those things didn't happen. But clarifier number 2 mechanism is something that in general terms 2018 we thought would spend $400,000.
That work wasn't done.
Six-inch trash pump motor. was put in that sheet somewhere between 18 and 19 years, fiscal years. And the pump and the motor both, a total of about $30,000. And I don't see that on here, so I'm...
I really can't speak to that. The major replacement projects are on page 6C, attachment number 4, page 2, schedule B1.
So some of the work on the number 2 clarifiers on there.
And then if you turn back one more page, you'll see a drift list of capital equipment requests that may or may not be on that list you have, Director Hill. But this was a list that was put together by our staff this year.
Okay.
Schedule
that,
8.
That page that you just mentioned, 6C, number 4, page 2. The last one on there is the one that says disinfection system optimization study.
Yeah.
For $50,000. Okay, so you've answered about the primary clarifier. Moving on then to 6C, attachment 3, page 1, Arroyo Grande connections. And I'm wondering if, since we had a fairly large development on Cherry Avenue that should be coming up for...
Can I stop you just a minute? Again, the page number for that study, would you help me with that again?
Yes, it is item 6C.
Yes.
Attachment 4.
4.
Page 2.
So I see it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Now, I'm sorry. Now, you're back on Cherry Avenue and the new subdivision that's out there.
Correct.
What, about 40 lots or something?
It's more like 55.
Okay, 55 lots. And are we referring to a line item on here now?
This would be Fund 24010.
On the revenue, sir?
I believe that is correct. It's the first item under revenue.
Okay, 24010.
That's right.
Yeah. The guess was 30K. What Arroyo's been doing is collecting and sending that money over to us as the buildings are collected. Now, if they collect it with the map, which would be a great way to collect it, and then you get all 50 lots immediately. But if they collect them with the building permits, then you go through the cycle of, are we going to build 30 houses? Are we going to build 10 houses? And I think what Rick was doing was trying to be a conservative estimator on that revenue. But eventually it will all come in. You're correct.
Okay, well, I appreciate conservative in revenue projections. We also have the development at Cortland and Grand, which is coming together now, and I don't know if that wasn't funded with the map, then we should have, as those houses are finished and come online, I would expect we'd have large amounts.
This is the one on the south side of Grand?
That's correct, uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would yield some funding, unless we've already got it.
Yeah, it's, well...
You see, Arroyo was 89 in 1617.
Right.
I don't know what it is today. Do you, Amy, happen to know what the actuals are on connection fees in Arroyo Grande? You don't have that with you, do you?
No. But
I don't expect you
they're
to.
They're high. They're high, and these numbers I took from the Bartle Wells study.
Oh.
Okay.
I just pulled them straight over.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that, because that means we are indeed conservative, so we'll have more coming in that.
That's our hope.
I think than we expected. Okay, those are my
first cut
first cut comments.
Would you like us to up the connection revenue for Rio Grande?
I think I heard Director Hill say that he was happy with the conservative estimate. He expects it to be higher than that on the actuals, and that's what we all hope, but I don't, you know, we're not using that as a spending advice at this time, unless I've misinterpreted what you've said, Director Hill.
I concur with your
okay.
What you said. The so I'm looking at, again, our I think this is from the Bartle Wells study and what we provided to SRF, where we have like $1 million in emergency capital reserves. Does that show in this budget?
No. Generally, what we'll do with funding is they'll propose a funding plan, and in that funding plan are the needs for the capital and the needs for the
O&M?
Yes, certainly the O&M, but also the needs for the reserve fund are generally included in that also. Now, what they do is they look at what's in the bank, what you need the reserve fund, and you borrow enough money to make the whole project work. If you had the money in the bank and you didn't need to borrow it, you'd save money. If you don't have the money in the bank and you need the money and you need it to reserve the payment of those bonds, you're going to borrow that money anyway. As long as the district remains in strong financial position and I get the audits done like I'm supposed to, we would hope we'd be able to borrow what we need for our project, and you would have that money, but notwithstanding what the comments you're making today.
Okay, I guess what I'm looking for is some assurance that that the representations we've made to, for example, USDA and SRF can be demonstrated through our budget going forward.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
And we've covered my concern, so that's fine.
If we can make the changes that you suggest in this evening's discussion, can we set the public hearing? Amy has a date, at least one in mind. Would that be acceptable to the board tonight as an action to take in addition to the input you've given me? Amy, yes. Do you have a date that you wanted
June 6th,
to?
June 6th, the
excuse
next board
me?
Meeting. June 6th.
June 6th. That would be the next board meeting. Then we can make these changes and bring them forward. Yeah. Is the board?
I think we have to do that because we have to have the budget approved by the end of the fiscal year.
We're supposed to. We're supposed to, but we've violated deadlines before.
That gives us wiggle room.
I'm not encouraging bad behavior.
Gallows humor appreciated.
Okay, that's what we'll do then, if that's the consensus of the board.
Sixth, I think, is...
Did I have a recommendation for you on this, or did I just...
Yes.
Maybe a movement to that recommendation,
and
Amy and I will follow through.
Okay, I move that we review, discuss, and propose revisions to the draft...
Oh, I'm sorry, we need to go to public comment.
Oh, okay.
Public comment, please.
Julie Tacker, and I brought my copy of the rate study because I think it's very important that you do have a budget that matches what you say to the loan providers. With regard to, first I'd like to speak to the formatting, and I know I asked for this a couple years ago or last year. Maybe it's a software thing, maybe it's management hasn't asked the bookkeeper to do this, but just 2 weeks ago, we had profit and loss statements that gave us year-to-dates up through March of 2018. This would have been very valuable when you get into what you're talking about tonight, as an example, the plant chemicals, year to date as of end of March, $169,754. That would have been valuable for you to set the prices or the budget for this fiscal year. And it's all here. It's already here. And all you had to do is have one more column to be able to track that and estimate. A lot of discussion about legal. I don't like giving any money to a lawyer. But sometimes you have to protect yourself or to be offensive. This district needs to file a civil case against John Wallace. You're going to have to put some money up front. You will get it in return because you will win that case. But you have to put the money up front. If redundancy does go forward and you do actually get into an agreement for funding, all those loan documents need to go through legal. There's going to be some money spent. So perhaps you set this bar, but not like it's happened in the past. We want to happen, we do want in the future that we've set a budget. When it looks like you're getting close, then you come and ask for more money. You do not go over and ask for forgiveness. That has happened time and time and time again in this district. You have a runaway freight train when it comes to legal bills. Strategic planning. A good administrator can do that all by himself. When Mr. Huebner was hired and we all discussed the $150,000 a year contract employee, he was going to do that on his own, and I hope your new person can do that as well. I have much, much more, but obviously Ms. Austin's not interested.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I'd like the board to remember that non-ratepayers come here with empty pockets. Empty pockets equal empty words. I like that you had a discussion about your budget costs, and I think that you came up with a reasonable projection that's realistic. I think it's good to put a little more than you anticipate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have public comment on the budget?
I just have a quick comment on the legal fees. I think the $30,000 or $35,000 is adequate, and I really appreciate that. That way, additional charges before they're spent can be brought before the board, and that gives you the oversight of the costs. Because when you look at different districts here, Selma, Kingsburg, Fowler, their budget for 17-18 was $30,000. And they have 31 employees with revenues of $7.8 million. So I think it's a good starting point. And if additional things come up, then you can always get the approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back. Now we can go ahead with our...
Okay. So I move that we review, discuss, and propose revisions to the budget and schedule a public hearing for the board meeting of June 6, 2018 to consider the adoption of the final budget for fiscal year 2018-19 and direct staff to advertise and notice the public hearing.
A second for discussion. The comment was made that non-ratepayers have empty pockets, and in my experience, that's not accurate. Unfortunately, our own ratepayers have far emptier pockets for not following some of the recommendations that Ms. Thacker has made over the years. And I do appreciate relevant comments. With that, I'm prepared to support your motion.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None? Okay. So you got everything you need?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you, board. PPM is next, I think.
I thought I would ask if maybe we could, is there any possibility with the agreement of the rest of the board here if we could table this until...
I'm good with that. This has been
a long
major
meeting.
Effort to go through all of the...
I think it would help because we've got other things that have... Once it's done, they have to get it right back, and I think it would give more time in between all these other things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, so if we all agree, then we'll table the policy manual and move on to miscellaneous items. Okay. Do we need to vote to do that?
To table?
Table it?
They have to...
No, but if you could certainly... By concern of the board, that's fine.
Okay.
I concur with your suggestion.
Yes.
Okay.
That is exciting. It's a great suggestion.
Okay, any written communications?
Amy, do we have anything to report?
There is nothing to report.
A question on that. We received a letter from the district attorney, and again, while council advised that we may not be required to respond to that, I think good practice and good form would, because we did reply to the individuals that raised the issue of Acure and Correct, I think that it would be a matter of good form to respond to the district attorney's letter. And I would respectfully request that we do that. Just to indicate that we're paying attention and we in fact did receive it.
Is that everything?
That's all on written communication.
Okay. Any board member communications?
No.
I would again request that our packets include the monthly cash statement that's been missing for several months now. If for nothing else, the transparency that it provides to the public, and in light of the fact, especially with the results that we had from the audit, that I think we owe it to the public to account properly and publicly and openly about our cash position on a monthly basis as we used to do. And I would strongly urge that we return that report to the agendas.
I agree with that.
Is that something we can start doing again, Mr. Carp?
If that's what you want as a board, we will make every effort to do that. And if we have a shortage of time, we'll just bump something else off, I guess. Amy is reconciling monthly.
Okay.
So there isn't a question whether the reconciliations are happening. She's doing that monthly. To prepare the report does take some time. I thought quarterly was adequate, and if that isn't what the board wants, it's certainly one of the options the auditor gave us.
Okay. Well, let's try it and see if we can. Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay.
One thing we might note for the public is they did have the ribbon cutting for Central Coast Blue just yesterday afternoon, and I would urge members of the public to check that out. It is at the Pismo Beach Corporation Yard, which is right near the Little League ball fields, and we have a demonstration plant that produces fully treated and drinkable water from the Pismo Beach wastewater treatment plant. And that's a very exciting cooperative effort between the city of Pismo Beach, City of Grover Beach, Oceana CSD, and City of Arroyo Grande, and also a number of consultants, WSC and others, that made that happen. And the demonstration project has been provided essentially at no charge. The wastewater recycling is considerably cheaper than desalination, and the particular demonstration plant from IDE that we're looking at that facility promises to be considerably less cost even than conventional reprocessing. So it's something for the area to be proud of. We're one of the few that has a demonstration plant, let alone a full-scale plant, but promises to give as economic as possible answer to our drought problems here. So again, members of the public are welcome to learn about that Central Coast Blue project, and I'd urge you to check it out. Very interesting.
Great, thank you.
To add to that, they will be open for the have that open for the next year, and anybody can call and make an appointment. Make sure that they're prepared for visitors, and that will happen for over the next year.
All righty. We'll move on now to closed session. Can we get an announcement of our closed session?
Yes, the board will convene in closed session to consider the public employment appointment of the district administrator, and also to discuss the amendment of an agreement for technical and administrative services pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, subsection B.
Thank you. Public comment?
Julie Tacker, and I guess my question was with regard to, it didn't say amendment in here. So now my question is kind of answered. I was going to ask I actually sent an email to Paul and Rick and asked who put this on the agenda, because under this section of the government code, performance is also one of the things that you do or can do while you're in there discussing this contract. But it's your legal counsel said there's an amendment potentially, so now I think I know why you're going to close session about it. So maybe you'll report out, and then we'll all know.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session.